Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together. Your bulletin has announcements and calendar. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate. Ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions or comments. And don't forget to sign the hospitality register. It gives us a chance to greet one another by name. So we have a few announcements this morning. Sue Mancy, I'm going to get started with you.
Good morning again. This morning I want to talk to you about fleas. No, not that kind of fleas. The flea market that we're going to have here on June 6th. We need lots and lots of help. There's lots of sign-up sheets on the kiosk. When I looked this morning, they are bare as can be. So we need all of you to sign up. We need donations for selling for the church to make money, baby clothes, jewelry, and books. We've already filled up the fellowship hall with vendors. We have lots of vendors signed up outside on the grass, but we are still looking for more vendors who would like to sign up. Maybe that's you. Sell your own stuff, keep your own money. This is all to benefit our church. We would like everyone to think about baking and freezing now for our baked food booth, which will be run here, and that is also the proceeds go to the church. Think about bringing all your donations in any Sunday. They begin left in the fellowship hall, way up on the wall that faces the wrap room. Leave them there for us to sort them, price them, and put them in their categories. Please don't rush out after the church, but I want to see everyone out there signing up for something. There's a job for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. In case you had not noticed, Katie is not with us this morning. She is one of many of the brave adult souls who are with the junior high kids on retreat. So prayers with Katie and also for the entire group in their safe returns today. Senior highs, don't forget, apparently there's a birthday party at the Binkos tonight at 6 o'clock. Everyone is invited, and it'll be great to see you there. Speaking of birthday parties, next Sunday, birthday party of the church, otherwise known as Pentecost. So please remember to wear red. Our last announcement this morning, it is a great honor to introduce to you Sister Grace Miller from the House of Mercy. She's going to give you a little bit of a teaser, an introduction to herself and the House of Mercy. And there will be a second hour in the adult lounge following worship today to hear more about that. Sister Grace.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the invitation to be here today. I have only about 3 minutes to speak, so I have to make it fast. So I was told. Sanctuary Village, a village of tents for the homeless, started last fall when the county closed the Civic Center garage downtown to the homeless. And homeless had been seeking refuge in this garage for many, many, many years, because it was warm and it was strategically located. 50 or more took refuge in the Civic Center garage. When we discovered the garage was going to be closed, we begged the authorities not to close the garage to the homeless until a suitable building was found for them. And last fall, unexpectedly, without any warning, they closed the garage. We asked for a meeting with the county. A meeting was set. Then a few days before we were to meet, I got a call saying we were not meeting. And I begged to meet to no avail. So we protested and we demonstrated, and three of us were arrested at the county building. We set up tents at the Washington Square Park and then moved to the Memorial Bridge, Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Memorial Bridge, under the bridge. And I'm sure you remember the bulldozing of the tents, that were there. And I'll never forget the cries of the homeless who lost their homes. In February of this year, Ken Glazer from Buckingham Properties offered us a loading dock where there was no water, no heat, but the city helped us to bring it up to code, and we moved in February. And it was a wonderful place. It really helped the homeless, took care of them. We were able to move them on, and they were happy and secure. And the number of homeless that came reached about 75, with more wanting to come. It was open 24/7. The contract stated that April 15th would be the closing day for the shelter. However, we thought we could get an extension. That didn't happen. We were, and still are, heartbroken. Many homeless who are at the shelter and placed in other shelters or hotels are now out on the streets again. They're lost, they're wandering, and they're wondering when another homeless shelter will open. And many of them are hiding for fear that the police will find them and arrest them. Then the day after Canal Street closed, a high fence was installed under the Memorial Bridge. We know this was purposely done to keep the homeless from setting up tents there. So what does this say about the symbolism of the Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Bridge? And what does this say to the homeless? What does this say about our city? What does this say about our county? The New York State Constitution says that the state is responsible to take care of all the poor in the state, and they delegate that responsibility to the county. The county should be taking the lead on this. The issue is the hard-to-place homeless, or the chronic homeless, many of whom have mental disabilities. So we need help. We're looking for another building that will house the homeless. It seems that every building we find, for some reason, is taken away from us. But we will not give up. And if you want to hear more about it, we'll meet later, right?
Powerful testimony, and I hope you all will join Sister Grace in the Adult Lounge following worship this morning to ask your questions and to learn more how we as a community of faith can respond. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed responsively in your bulletin. Good morning, friends and neighbors. Of all the places you could be on a Sunday morning, why are you here?
We come to see the blessing of the risen one in the community.
We come to celebrate the presence of the one who knows our hearts and guides our choices.
We come to witness the risen one at work in our community.
The risen one at work in us, offering us eternal life.
Opening our minds to God's justice, our hearts to God's mercy, our world to the place where God is all in all.
Eternal life starting here, starting now. Let us celebrate.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Protector of all, so many of us come this morning with the weight of the world on our shoulders. We are burdened with our own problems and with the problems of the world that we can't solve. Anxiety and pain separate us from one another and from you. Remind us that your prayer for us is to become one, to share each other's hopes and burdens, to create a world where the resources are shared so that all have enough. Transform our separate lives into one life shared. Take away the armor that shields us from the pain of others, and fill us with the joy that radiates from the core of being. In the joy of spirit, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please hear our silent prayers. Be joyful this day because we are not the burdens we carry. Instead, we are the beautiful image God created and is creating us to be. And God is creating a beloved community in our midst.
At this time, I invite the children to come forward. Good morning. We're actually going to go over here today. Ready? I know. Do you think everyone's going to start to get worried we're going to escape? Maybe it would be kind of fun to run away. I agree. I don't think I'd get very far, though. Good morning. All right, come here. I first need you to promise. You promise you won't run away. Okay. You don't promise? Well, William, you're going to have to just stand here then. You got to promise not to run away. There's something I want to show you. We don't have to go far. Okay. I think they can still hear me in there, right? Come on. Come on. Come on. So what is that right there? A tree. I brought you all the way out here to look at a living tree. One of the things that I love so much about the Bible, come on, it works best when everyone can just see it. Come on, come on, you promised. Come on. Awesome. One of the things that I love most about the Bible is the ways that it points us to God's presence wherever we are. And that means outside sometimes too. And the psalm that we're reading today, the first psalm, talks all about, what's that again? A tree. And how about when we are seeking God's love, we are like, what is that again? A tree planted by living water. So this week, maybe especially today because the sun's shining, when you guys are all outside playing, and you see a big, beautiful tree, think about how God's love fills you and you become just like the tree. Oh, you're so awesome. Do you want to pray out here? Yeah, me too. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for signs of your love all around us, especially the trees. Amen. Awesome. I know. You promised, though. Back in.
First reading of the word is Book 1, Psalm 1 of the Psalms. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
How we glorify our Savior.
I know, you're hoping I'll take you outside too. Instead, we remain with the disciples and with Jesus. In the Gospel of John, on the night before his arrest, we've been here a while now. And this morning, we hear Jesus' words of prayer for his disciples. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you. And I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Indeed, the word of the Lord. One of the many things that I love here at Gates Presbyterian Church is the prayers of the people. I love how we as a community of faith give voice, literally our own voice, to the joys in our everyday lives, and we also name the challenges, the ones that we experience personally and the ones that break our hearts in the world. Have you ever noticed that since we started including the children's prayers from Sunday school class, that when they are in worship with us, they feel more comfortable raising their hands, holding that big microphone, and really trusting us as a community that we will hold their prayers with them. Now, because this time in worship is not only cherished by myself, but by the community as a whole, I bet that when Katie and I begin the more formal prayer, you have never, ever, ever thought to yourself, oh goodness, I hope she doesn't go on too long today. Never. Right? It's never crossed your mind, not once. I heard one sermon today. Please don't make this a second one. Never. I know. I can hear the stifled giggles, and so that means you have no idea what I am talking about. So you will need to use your imaginations this morning to wonder how those disciples are feeling still in that upper room as Jesus began his essentially prayers of the people in the Gospel of John. So this prayer follows 129 verses of a sermon following the Last Supper. And the prayer is long as well. I encourage you to read it at some point. We only got a little piece of it this morning. In reflecting on this prayer for this last Sunday in Easter, because that's what today is, the last Sunday in the Easter season, it occurred to me that being with Jesus and his disciples on the night before his death in the Easter season is a strange place to be. And it's even stranger that we've kind of been stuck here for a couple weeks now. Theologically, we are in the shadow of the cross and the joy of Easter all at the same time. It's strange. And just in case, you know, we weren't living into the strangeness enough, I thought I'd throw in a little bit of Christmas this morning as well, just in case you didn't look ahead in your bulletin. Just a little, just for good measure. If you see it there, it's Joy to the World. It really wasn't meant to be a Christmas song. And it's going to feel a bit strange to sing, and that's the idea, especially the way John and I have it worked out this morning. Not saying any more, though. But live into that strangeness. I think there's a little piece of it that helps us to understand how it was for the disciples to hear Jesus over and over and over again throughout his sermon and also in this prayer to talk about joy. We've heard these little snippets of Jesus' parting words. And he goes back and forth between naming how this is not an easy place to be in, and reinforcing this mission that he has sent them out into the world to accomplish on his behalf, to show God's love. And even here in this time of prayer, Jesus names the rejection, the challenges, the heartache and hatred they will feel out in the world. And he prays for them. He prays for them to make his joy complete in themselves. So hearing this joy, it raises some questions about what were they really hearing. We've talked about how the disciples might have been feeling in this strange place, but what kind of questions does this strange place raise for them? I wonder if they heard him asking for protection, or did they hear that they were about to be abandoned? Did they hear that the world is a terrible place, so they should avoid it? Or did they hear what he was actually saying about going out into it and continuing to love as God loves? Could they even hear the joy that is possible when it seems so impossible? There are so many questions and so many ways to experience this in-between place. There's a name for it, at least psychologists describe this place of in-between, of what the world was and what it will be like, as liminal space. Liminal space comes from the Latin word meaning threshold. The disciples are in a liminal space where things are just not known. It's this ragged overlap of occupying what is known and familiar and being led into this mysterious, grace-filled space where God is always inviting and leading us. The thing is, most of us don't associate joy very often with these liminal spaces. We actually do tend to approach them more like we would the prayers of the people. That goes on too long, right? Just get through it and let's get on to the next thing. Perhaps I've been drawn to the Gospel of John this Easter season with the disciples and Jesus in the upper room because this liminal space speaks a lot about where we are here at GPC. It's been almost a year since Carol Ann, our associate pastor, retired. And Katie started as our supply pastor last September with a year contract. It's gone by so quickly. And the GPS, or God's Path Seekers, our vision and strategy team from the congregation, has been hard at work for the last 8 months, asking the kinds of questions that a community does in these liminal spaces, looking back on where we've been as a congregation and where it is that God is calling us forward to in the future. I've been thinking lately that this great group, in case you don't know who they are, Keith Hadley, Anne Marie Sim, Marty Oman, David Keeling, Jan Buettner, J.C. Roshan, Carrie Dykes, and Peter Derry, they became our unofficial liminal space dwellers on our behalf. And part of what they have also been doing is not just looking at the liminal space that we as a congregation are occupying, but they have taken the time to look at the larger context of Christianity in America today. Talk about a liminal space. Never in American history has it been so obvious that the Christian church is no longer what it was, and that we have no idea what it's going to be. It's been all over the news this week, or at least church nerdy world news, if you get that on. The statistics were released, and the news did cover talking about what the current state of the Christian church and other faith traditions are in America. Catholics and so-called mainline Protestants, like the Presbyterians and Methodists, and even the evangelical megachurches are starting to feel, that's not true. They're not starting to feel. They're really deep into feeling the reality that many people aren't leaving church to find new ones. They are just leaving church. And that there are today more people who claim no religious affiliation, commonly called the nuns, not the Catholic version, but those who have no religious affiliation, but there are more nuns than there are Catholics today. And our denominational numbers came out too. We aren't faring much better. There's been a nearly 40% decline in membership in the Presbyterian Church USA in the past decade, 30% in our own presbytery, and about 16% here at GPC. I normally don't throw out these statistics because anyone who works with statistics knows there is always more to numbers than just the numbers. But I usually hesitate to throw them out because the response to them is always so mixed, and we don't often have a chance to really engage in them. And watching the internet and blogosphere explode today in reaction to all of this is a good example. There are a lot of people who like to stick their heads in the sand. There are others who will fixate on the numbers and try to get them to say what they want them to say. And then, wow, there's just so much anxiety, hand-wringing, obsessing. Why is this happening? Some churches close ranks. They ration provisions, and they point fingers at the enemies of the world. You know what I'm talking about? Technology, kids these days, and yes, the scariest weapon of mass destruction ever, the soccer ball. Other church folks will, in the words of one Methodist pastor, double down on all the hustle and jump on church growth strategy bandwagons or reorganize the deck chairs. And then yet still others proclaim the death of Christianity in America, and they get the nails ready for the coffin, forgetting the fact that Christianity is not just an American thing. It's a whole global Christian movement, but I digress. The reality is that we can be surprised at these statistics. We can be concerned, but this is the world we're living in. This is the world. And the church is called to be in it. And it's a liminal space of what was and what will be. And being in this liminal space means that we aren't always sure what will be. Neither do those disciples. But Jesus keeps refocusing them and us on joy that will be made complete in us. Friends, from the upper room to the garden in Gethsemane, from the cross to the empty grave, from far out as Bethany when Jesus was lifted up to heaven, when the sounds of the wind filled their homes and tongues of fire rested on their heads. It's in these liminal spaces of what was and what will be where God's joy is at work and is calling us to what is next. In this liminal space GPC is in, we can join the hand-wringing or the blaming, or if folks want to donate some deck chairs, we can rearrange those too. Or we can live in the joy. Like, for example, this morning, we're going to buck those statistics and welcome some new members who recognize that God is at work here at GPC and they want to be part of it. At the end of the month, we're going to celebrate our confirmation class who has been on this amazing faith journey, and they are eager to share with you in worship what choosing faith looks like for them. Next month, we are, over the course of the whole summer, you know, we are a church on the move. We go out and love our neighbors in the world. The junior high group will be out in the city of Rochester. The senior highs will be in the rural North Country. Young adults out at Stony Point. A group here will join a group from Batavia in Guatemala. Friends, there is joy. GPC is in a liminal space, and we're being led to the mysterious, grace-filled place where God is always inviting, leading, and praying for us. Statistics aren't going to tell the whole story. They aren't going to tell us about the joy. And maybe that joy might feel a little bit like singing Joy to the World in May, but we're going to do it. Thanks be to God. We'll warm ourselves up first with affirming our faith. Here, talk about another liminal space for those who lived through the 1960s. There are plenty of you who have practice at this, and we live in the joy. Let us stand together and affirm our faith. We believe that the reconciling work of Jesus was the supreme crisis in the life of humankind. His cross and resurrection become personal crisis and present hope when the gospel is proclaimed and believed. In this experience, the Spirit brings God's forgiveness to us moves us to respond in faith, repentance, and obedience, and initiates the new life in Christ. We believe that the new life takes shape in a community in which we know that God loves and accepts us in spite of what we are. We therefore accept ourselves and love others, knowing that no one has any ground on which to stand except God's grace. Thank you, John. What a night. And at this time, I invite those who are affirming their faith and receiving the call to join here at Gates Presbyterian Church, along with their sponsors and the Chair of Membership and Hospitality, Gladstone Crosdale, if you would all come forward to the table, please. So, new members and your sponsors.
Good morning, and we have some good news. I would like to introduce to you our new members and their sponsors. Roger Best, sponsored by Harry Vail. Amanda Hart, sponsored by Nancy Ossenbaum. Jason and Jessica Millington, sponsored by Verona. And Julie Side is sponsored by Anne-Marie Sims, Amy term mater sponsored by Patty Fields. I'd like to welcome all of the members.
You guys stick for you. Quite the group. Friends, Roger and Amanda, Jason and Jessica, Julie and Amy, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If so, please say yes. And do you trust him? If so, say yes. And do you intend to be his disciples, to obey his word, and to show his love? If you do, please say yes. And will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way? And will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? If so, please say yes. Friends, be filled with gratitude. Let the message of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. And whatever you are doing, whether you speak or act, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Creator, through him. Let us pray together. O God, our Creator, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for sending us Roger and Amanda, Jason, Jessica, Julie, and Amy. Together, may we live the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen. Welcome, friends, to this new ministry in Christ. Would you hand this up? And we invite everyone following worship down to Fellowship Hall to meet and greet our new members. And yes, there will be cake. Thanks be to God. And once you've received your certificate, you may go ahead and have a seat. Congratulations. Welcome. Congratulations. Welcome. And at this time, we gather together for the prayers. What are the prayers of joy and concern on your hearts this day?
Just a reminder that most of the school districts around here on Tuesday have votes for their budgets and their board members. Just encourage you to do that. Also, if you're in the Gates Chiley District, one of our own, Andrea Unson, is running for the school board, so please vote.
So we'll be surrounding Andrea in prayer and all of those as you commit to your civic duty and our children.
Hi, Keith Morgan. I would like to ask for prayers for our friend Chris Nielsen, who's been over a month in the hospital. She's had leukemia. Mm. She survived that, but she's now having bone marrow rejection. She's wondering how much more she cares to fight.
Continued prayers for her.
Linda Sidori, my cousin has been battling ALS for about a year and a half, and he is going home on Monday after being in the hospital on a ventilator on and off and having to make some decisions. So I ask for prayers for him and the family.
Prayers for him.
I'm glad Cross Hill again. Just wanted to give you an update on the night. Ione's situation. She is doing very well. She has conformed to everything that they don't want her to do. And she's becoming a little feisty, so she's making progress. And thank you for all your thoughts and prayers.
Good morning, Barb Snaith. I'd like to ask for prayers for my boss's wife, Lisa. She recently had surgery for a thyroid to be removed, and they found some other spots that need to be treated. So I'd like to ask for prayers that she has a smooth recovery. Thank you.
Andrea Unson, prayers of joy for the life of Melissa Harris, and prayers of concern for her parents and her family. She had committed suicide this last week.
Prayers for the Harris family.
Diane Keeling. I asked for prayers for my mom. She fell this week. She's okay. But a year ago, she fell and broke her hip. So I ask actually prayers for me to help her to stop being so stubborn. I don't know what to do. and also, I want to congratulate my son. He's going to be mad for me doing this, but he got inducted into the Phi Theta Kappa 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So congrats to Dave.
Congratulations.
Christy Stewart, I'd like to ask for prayers for Isabella Perkins, an 18-month-old little girl who will be having brain surgery this week. She is the daughter of Casey and Eric Perkins and the granddaughter of Ann and Wayne Smith. And they hope to resolve a Chiari malformation.
Prayers for the Perkins family.
Jim Poole, I'd like to ask for prayers for the family of Andy Shields, that they can have peace and comfort. In case you don't know, Andy just passed away last week. So
prayers for the family of Andy Shields, who died this week. Memorial service will be held here at church at 1 o'clock next Sunday. And also continued prayers for Don Bernhardt, as he has undergone multiple surgeries and is at Unity Hospital. So we continue our prayers with him.
Nancy Hasenlop, prayers for my mom, Jerry Stewart, who had eye surgery on Friday. She hopefully is recovering well. We're wondering about when she will be safe enough to drive again.
And I continue to also covet your prayers. My situation has not changed at all, and seeing a neurologist on Thursday, hoping for something, but I will definitely take all of your prayers. And also from our children this morning, prayers of joy for visiting family and getting eggs from a chicken coop, prayers for great baseball games, and now here's a good prayer of joy. I have my own room. I'm sure that a much happier household. And prayers of concern for an aunt that she might quit smoking, and for a friend who got hurt at a baseball game, for a sunburn, and for lost baseballs. Amen. Let us pray together. Ever-present God, you call us on a journey to a place we don't know. We're not sure where we started, and we know we have not reached our destination. Sometimes we aren't sure where we are or who we are. This is not a comfortable place. But be among us, we pray. Calm our fears, save us from discouragement, and help us stay on course. Open our hearts to your guidance so that our journey to this unknown place continue as a journey of trust. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. With joy in our hearts, let us give back to God a portion of the abundance God has entrusted us with.
Thank you.
We give with grateful hearts, O God of love, for you have been with us through all of life's circumstances. Your strength and comfort have guided and sustained us. Now may our gifts of thanksgiving be used in the service of your ministry. Amen.
Benediction than that. Go. Go to the world. Christ sends us on our way, filled with the hope of the grace and the joy of his life, his death, his resurrection, and all that is in between. Go. Alleluia. Amen.